Hi, welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
So Jimmy, it's been, at least 3 years, probably longer, since the last time we recorded a podcast. I think at that point when we stopped, we pretty much thought that was it for King of the Hill. Like, there's been rumors, quite frankly, since cancellation that it was going to come back, but obviously nothing ever came to fruition. But, you know, here we are back to, it's not August 4th yet, when the King of the Hill releases. This is still in June right now, June 2025, but, you know, we're on the cusp of the revival.
Has it really been 3 years? And Jason and I haven't even talked to each other since then. We were like, no communication until King of the Hill comes back. That way we're just fresh.
Exactly. We did go to D23 last year, and quite frankly, I was disappointed. Because, you know, Disney owns Fox and owns Hulu. They effectively own Hulu. Actually, I think they outright own Hulu now, because they were like, Disney was a third, owned like 30%, Universal owned 10%. 20th Century Fox owned 30%, and then NBC Universal, I believe, owned 30%, but then obviously Disney bought Fox, so now they own a majority of Hulu, NBC, and then NBC and what's it called? Universal pulled out. It was either Universal or Paramount, I can't remember off the top of my head, and so now Disney pretty much right out owns Hulu, and so, you know, Jimmy and I went to D23. Those who don't know, that's essentially Disney's version of Comic-Con. They do it every other year, but obviously they focus only on Disney properties, which is a lot. Disney owns a lot. I was upset that they didn't have anything King of the Hill related at the not even a sneak peek. Like, isn't that half of the reason? You go to more of these cons than I do, but isn't that, like, half of the reason you go to them is to get, like, the sneak peeks of things that the public isn't going to necessarily see?
Yeah, I really feel like this was like some kind of sleeper thing. There was no buzz really. Like, there were rumors, and, you know, but there's always been rumors, right? Like, there's always been like King of the Hill's going to come back for a season, or King of the Hill's going to come back for like a reboot or whatever. And it's kind of just like, oh, well, these are just rumors. But it felt like this was just another rumor, and then they were like, it's real. We recorded everything. I just felt like there was no, I don't know. They're definitely, well, if you're listening to this podcast, you gotta be a King of the Hill fan, I hope, or have become one. So there are fans out there. I just feel like there should have been a little more fanfare, right?
Yeah. I think, didn't Hulu have, they weren't calling it booths. So I go to a lot of like tech conferences and stuff, and so people put up booths. So I'm always going to use that term, but it was like, I guess they called them experiences or something. Just these large, kind of maybe the size of a small, like a small studio apartment or something. A bit bigger than that, but they had these little spaces throughout the convention center that you can go and collect badges, or I guess, wasn't it pins that was the big thing last year and stuff like that? And Hulu had a big setup, but they didn't really do any King of the Hill reference.
Well, it comes out in August, right? So we still got Comic-Con at the last week of July, or the third week of July. So we could get something there. And if there is something there, I'll make sure I try to do it. I'll make sure I do it, and then I'll report back to the podcast about it.
Yeah, it's just, you feel like they would have done something, but, you know, finally, we decided to come back and record. Well, first of all, we are going to review all the episodes, obviously. There's going to be they're going to drop all of them on the same day, which seems kind of different from what we've seen streaming services do lately. Maybe they're, I don't know, I guess when streaming services first came out, like in the earlier days when they were starting to create original content, they would do these binge dumps, like drop 13 episodes on a day, and there you go, you have the whole season. And then they started like trying to become more episodic, like the old days where it's like, oh, a new episode every week. But it seems like they're kind of going back to that whole, let's just dump everything a little bit. Now, granted, I'm only like going to list two examples with, or I guess no, didn't, so I'm thinking Ironheart comes out soon, so we're recording like a week or two before Ironheart comes out. I can't remember the exact date. And that's supposed to be a full, like, they're dumping all the episodes on the same day. I think Squid Games did the same thing, and a few other shows are. So it seems like they're coming back to doing that, doing like these, just dumping the whole season on the same day.
I don't know if it worries me or if it doesn't worry me, because, like, I don't know, just with Hulu or Marvel has been doing, where for shows that they really like, they'll do it week by week. And then some shows will be like, here's all the episodes at one time. We're just kind of trying to, like, give it to you. Like, I don't know, but I feel like, personally, I think this is a good thing. King of the Hill is very rewatchable, in my opinion. I think at least us, we're going to binge this like 3 or 4 times. I feel like the whole season.
Absolutely. Like it's not going to be a one and done thing.
So I feel like that's the average King of the Hill fan. So I think dropping it all at once is, people are going to be watching this all the time, and you know, it's going to make people go back to watch the old stuff too. So I think it's going to be a good thing. I'm not too worried about it. Like you said, we will be going through each episode, so we're going to take it week by week, but, you know, that means you could just binge it each week.
Yeah, we're going to release, we're busy people. We're all busy people. There's no way we're going to be able to record, like, 10 episodes and dump them all at once the way King of the Hill did. So we'll just take it week by week, pretending, you know, even though it's not, we're going to pretend it is a weekly episodic launch. Right now, all we have to go off of, for the most part, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about on today's episode, all we have really to go off of is, like, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, they dumped the intro credits, which there's a lot. It's like only a minute and a half, 2 minutes, but there's a lot to unpack there. They had this Austin event in late May, I believe it was May 31st, where they kind of did a meet and greet and backyard barbecue thing. And sadly, you know, it's in the room kind of thing. You know, sadly, that was the last weekend. We had Jonathan Joss alive. We can talk a little bit about that as well as some of the other losses we've had with King of the Hill. Some of the things that we've known that were from these interviews, from the promotional image that was released, as well as the credits that were released recently. Just kind of do some predictions from what we see from there, what we'd like to see from the show. Oh, also, they kind of dumped the titles of the 10 episodes that are coming up, but there's no full synopsis, so to speak. But we'll just go ahead and talk through those, give some of our predictions, what we would like to see, what we think we'll see, and yeah, we'll take it from there. So what do you think, Jimmy? Ready to jump in?
Yeah, let's go for it.
So with the trailer, it is pretty much the exact same opening of the trailer, and we'll put it in the show notes. It's very similar to what you've seen before when it starts off. You know, the guys, Hank opening the can of beer and the guys getting ready to sip, but then it changes. And it's kind of cool because, if I'm not mistaken, there's supposedly about an 8-year time lapse. So it's a revival. And I think one of the things that a lot of people were asking themselves about when the revival was officially announced, because they just announced at the time when the announcement came out a few years ago, they just announced that Hulu had ordered new episodes, but not much detail outside of that came up. So people were like, okay, it's been 15 years since the show went off the air. Are we going to see a time skip? I think most people just assume, because cartoons kind of exist in a floating timeline type scenario. Like, what is it? Bart has been 10 years old or whatever for 30 years now. You know, there's kind of the floating timeline thing. So I think a lot of people figured, oh, it's just going to pick up immediately where it left off. So no time had passed. But then one of the writers, you know, kind of in an interview kind of let it out that they're looking at a time jump, so we didn't know. And it looks like there's going to be an 8-year time jump. And that time jump we kind of see happen in the credits. So rather than having an episode that kind of catches us up on everything they were up to, they just kind of, in the credits, kind of give us a lot of hints as to what happened over those 8 years.
Yeah, I feel like if you listen to the podcast, I was very adamant about no time jump. Like, I did not want a time jump at all. But after seeing this opening credit scene and really thinking about it for 3 years, I think this is the best option. It handles all the voices that we like, all the voice actors we've lost. Show has ended. It kind of gives us an easy kind of like, this is why they're not there anymore. Like, they moved out of the town, they're somewhere else, they're doing blah 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 with their life. So it gives us kind of like an easy, we don't really have to tell the backstory about that. It just happens in the time jump. So, and I mean, we're going to talk about the opening credit, but like, it just makes sense to me now. I'm really excited about it now.
Yep. So the opening credits kind of continue in the old King of the Hill way, but in the original opening credits, kind of alluding to what we're talking about, in the original opening credits, it presumably took place over the course of the day. We see the car breakdown and changing of a tire and Bobby riding around the guys while they're drinking, and then it ends with Hank, beginning a trash can and putting it away. This takes place over 8 years, so it starts and it's like we start seeing like one of the first scenes is we see Connie with like a anti-global warming protest sign, and presumably this is like when they're first starting high school and stuff. Things are happening around the guys as they're drinking, but it's fast. We even see like the seasons pass. We see Min and Con fighting, arguing over something. Then we see that Dee Dee has shown up. She's in the same, or at least a similar convertible as to what we see her in the last episode that we see her when she gives Hank, Cotton's will and whatnot. She's in that same convertible. She's come back. But this time, like, she's got a slightly older GH, and now we see a little bit of an older Bobby, maybe early high school. He's finally hit puberty. We see that he has a little bit of a growth spurt there. We see John Redcorn picking up Nancy, which is completely different from how we left things off beforehand, because the season or the original run kind of ended with them reaffirming that Nancy and Dale have a strong marriage. John Redcorn's out of the picture. So it's like, wait, Nancy's getting into John Redcorn's Jeep. What's going on there? I think, and we'll talk about it later, I think there might be a throuple situation, but we'll see. Then we see the Hills like get out of their house with some suitcases, and they get into an airport like transport van. Bill is broken down crying, and we see that. Then we see somebody else moving to the house, presumably. So a new character is being added, named Mohammed, and he's in. Now, granted, I can't say for sure because we don't see the word Strickland, but he's in. We see the same kind of blue shirt that Hank wears when he works at Strickland, so maybe he's a Strickland employee, who knows? COVID happens. We see Bill. There's some theories that Bill catches COVID and he has long COVID, and that's why we don't see him in those COVID, few frames. Dale, as expected, he's wearing a mask, but he's wearing it on his chin, which is a total Dale move. There's a theory that Bill is like a shut-in, which you don't see him a lot. Then at some point we see Dale putting up Gribble for Mayor signs and then removing Gribble for Mayor signs. Then we see Joseph, who is much older, probably senior in high school at this point in time. Time continues to pass. Another van pulls up. The Hills come out much older. They remove a Gribble for Mayor sign, so they're back. And Bobby is much older. He's in his early 20s. He is taller than Peggy and just a notch shorter than Hank. And they kind of stand and hug each other. You can clearly see that they've aged. Not just Bobby, but Hank definitely looks older. Peggy definitely looks older. And then we get the King of the Hill logo, and there you go. That is the trailer. And of course, don't just listen to me. Take the 2.5 minutes out of your life to watch it. We'll have the link in the description, assuming you haven't seen it already. Did anything stick out of that trailer for you immediately?
Well, Hank leaving, of course, I feel like was a shock to me in this trailer. I really feel like Hank would never leave this town. So to like see him move out was interesting, and then I see someone else move in, and I'm really glad whoever we're saying this new character has joined is moved into the Hill's house, right?
That's what it looks like.
Okay, because I really love that whoever moved into the Hill's house for a while has kind of gets along with the other characters we have, the neighbors, you know? Because we've had people who have moved into the neighborhood who have just been like anti Dale, Bill, and Boomhauer, you know?
Yeah, now that you mention it, like I, and maybe if I sit and think about it, I'll think differently, but almost every episode of King of the Hill where they get like a new neighbor, either whether it's a long-term neighbor or a temporary neighbor, they have a like that they have a terrible time with the neighbor. That's like always a major plot point. Like, Hank's a bully, the kid Dusty Old Bones, full of green dust. Then you have the Big Willie Lane who came in there in the neighborhood. You have Khan who, while he stays, the Hills that have a very strenuous, and pretty much everybody on Rainy Street have a strenuous relationship with him, and also they aren't big fans of everybody else on the street either. So yeah, there's always like conflict. The Canadians when they're temporarily in the house. So it is interesting to see that it seems like the guys are getting along with who I'm assuming is Mohammed just fine.
Yeah, so I'm really glad that this character has I don't know, filled the empty space with them, or just like seems to have integrated himself very well into this group, which I enjoy. I'm glad that they were able to find someone.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I do. I remember texting you and you thought I was trolling you, and I can't blame you because I was in disbelief when I first read it. But like the reason the Hills are moving is 'cause they moved to Saudi Arabia for like a good portion of that 8 years, which like makes sense to me. Like that's I mean to think that's a troll because it seems Hank's definitely not the type of person who is super open-minded and would be comfortable leaving Texas, much less leaving the country for Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I remember getting that text from you, and I don't know what I said. I bet I could look it up, but I definitely remember being like, "Oh, that's a funny idea," or something along the lines of like, "Oh yeah, that's really gonna happen," or "You made that up," or I really assume you made that up.
I mean, it sounds made up. I think reading one of the interviews, it sounds like what they're wanting to do is have kind of a fish out of the water experience for Hank. One of the big things for the original 13 seasons was that, Hank is kind of this old-fashioned, small-town, conservative Texan, working-class guy. And he always has a hard time like adapting to changing scenarios. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. And so they basically are like, hey, we're going to remove Hank and the Hills from America for X amount of years, and there's going to be all of these culture changes happening back in America. Now they move back to America and they have to kind of, now Hank's a little bit of a fish out of the water because he's missed a lot of this cultural phenomenon over the past 8 years.
Yeah, to really think about like the past 8 years, or even like I kind of just like am thinking about like pop culture moments, or just like historical moments in the King of the Hill universe. And I can just anytime I try to think of like moments that have happened in history that have happened in the King of universe, I can only think of like the pop culture stuff Bobby was into, like oh, what were they called? They're not called Beanie Babies, but they're something like something along the lines of like they are like Beanie Babies. And Troll Dolls, he had Troll Dolls as well. He liked very
Yep.
90s stuff. And then Britney Spears, like, didn't he have a magazine with Britney Spears on it at one point?
Yeah, there was that whole pub trivia, not pub trivia, but the trivia bowl in high
And he
school
was
or
the pop
whatnot, and he was,
culture.
or middle school, and he was
Yeah.
like the pop culture guy.
Yeah, and I just feel like there was so much of that, and then like there was no really. I mean, then you think of like what just happened in the past 5, 6 years. We've gone through so many things, like a pandemic and all that stuff. So it's like, wow, they're bringing it into this universe. So there has been a lot of change. But on the other hand, it's like, I want to see how Hank dealt with COVID. You know what I mean? How's Hank's reaction to all of this? We're kind of like, we have those moments, but then we're glossing over them. So I wonder, like, I don't know. I'm so confused. Like, do you think Hank's just going to fall back into place with the group? Or do you think there's going to be like, you're not really a part of this group anymore kind of feeling?
I think he'll fall back into the group, but I think he'll struggle because also, you know, one of the big things is Hank's kind of, and they explored in one of the episodes, Hank's kind of a cranky guy sometimes. He can sometimes be a wet blanket. He thinks what the guys are doing is dumb. So missing a bunch of, so like, for example, if you look at the promotional image that they released, you know, you kind of see Hank and he's kind of the straight man in the group, kind of just chilling. But then you have like, Bill's gained weight, but he largely looks the same. His hairline's receded a little bit, but a little bit more, and he's gained a little bit of weight, but he largely looks the same. But, you know, he's ordering, like, Megalomart has, like, a, you know, the in-universe version of DoorDash, so he's ordering food from there. We see, like, a drone, like, their in-universe version of Amazon Prime delivering stuff through a drone, and Boomhauer's definitely the one who aged the most if you look at that image. He's presumably, I mean, he's just on a device. I guarantee you Boomhauer's like trolling the in-universe versions of Tinder or whatever. And then of Dale's in VR and all that. So like, you know, Hank, not to say that this stuff doesn't exist in Saudi Arabia, but he's going to miss a lot of like the cultural changes in America that the other guys probably adapted to as it was happening. And so, you know, I can see, you know, Hank being like, hey, you guys want to go to the Arlen Barn and grab some food or something like that? And Bill's like, why go out when we could just order in or something like that?
I don't know. I kind of feel, I agree at some points, and I just feel like, like, Saudi Arabia, isn't it kind of just more like modern or, like, very futuristic looking?
Some aspects are, some
like
aren't.
I mean, the main city, like, I feel like, I don't know, I wonder what Hank's job is. Like, is he out there in the field, or is he, like, office work and, like, management?
So I have some theories about that. Obviously, they'll be confirmed or denied on August 4th. But based on what I've seen, my theory... So I did... in my nerd way, I did a little research. I did not realize this, but according to OEC, Saudi Arabia is actually one of the top 10 producers of propane in the planet. Saudi Aramco... which it looks like is going to be playing a part in the series from what I can tell, is actually one of the largest companies in the world, which is kind of interesting. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the top 10 list of the richest companies, I should say, rather than largest. Of the richest companies, looking at the top 10, 8 are American, 2 are not, 1 in Saudi Arabia, 1 in Taiwan. And 8 of them are tech companies. 2 of them are not exclusively tech companies. 1 is finance and 1 is oil, gas, energy, that kind of thing. So Saudi Aramco's number 7 after going in order. Microsoft, Nvidia, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, which is effectively Google, Meta Platforms, which is Facebook, Saudi Aramco, Broadcom, TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, and then Berkshire Hathaway. So, you know, they're a big company, but they produce and mine the liquid petroleum, but don't really sell it. You know, the retailers like Strickland Propane and whatnot do. You know, my guess is that, like, in-universe, a few possibilities happen in-universe. Buck Strickland does not take good care of himself. And on top, you know, he's had heart attacks in the episode or in the series. He's had heart problems. And then also he gets himself into like a lot of trouble with his gambling addiction and his women addiction and stuff. Like we see the one episode where he, you know, where like he's almost beaten by a bunch of thugs until Hank saves him in Hot Springs, Arkansas and whatnot. So I don't know that Buck Strickland is either going to be alive or physically well. When the series starts, or when the series restarts, and the revival takes place, so my guess is either Buck retired and sold the company to a major conglomerate like Aramco or whatnot, or he sold it to like, or he died, but like you know everything went to Ray Roy, his illegitimate son, Or Buck gives it to somebody. This isn't the first time we've seen Buck do this, where he like gives control of the company to a business magnate or something. Something happens to where either Hank, to where Hank's like employment with Strickland is shaky. My theory winds up happening. What's most likely to happen is that maybe these oil company or Aramco shows up and like starts buying up a bunch of. Propane businesses in Texas, including Strickland. And because Hank is such a good worker and kind of understands like the propane retail business better than others, they bring him over to help him along with others. Like, I don't think they're going to just bring over Hank, but they bring Hank over to, you know, their corporate headquarters in Saudi Arabia to help them like build out their retail business, because running a retail business and running like a production business are two completely different things. Hank is great at customer service and well-respected, so they bring him over. That is what my theory is. According to one of the summaries I read, essentially Hank agreed because like a lot of... I personally know a few people, not necessarily Saudi Arabia, but who went to Dubai for like 2 or 3 years to do tech work because they pay incredibly well and they were able to make like a few hundred K in addition to like their salary that they were able to just kind of pile away somewhere. So what the summary is saying is that to build them a nest egg so that they can retire early, the Hills agreed to take the job and go to Saudi Arabia and work there for a few years. So it seems, according to the summary I read, they are in some kind of early retirement now. Due to all the money they did. So Hank pretty much agreed because it was a good payday for him. What are your thoughts on like the whole Saudi Arabia?
Okay. Hearing you talk and just going back to my theory about Hank coming back, I've come up with my own crazy idea. And I think that Hank was kind of, okay, so sorry, let me get my thoughts together. So Bobby's leaving for culinary school, right? Because we know Bobby's a chef, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Bobby is a chef, so I assume he either decided to go to culinary school or just decided to start working in kitchens or something like that. But I'm assuming he's going to skip college. I think that Hank was probably at one of those propane conventions that he goes to every now and then, and he was poached by this company. And since Bobby's leaving the house to pursue his career, that Peggy somehow convinces him that this could be an opportunity for them to, like, go on an adventure or whatever and make money. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like see the world a little bit now that Bobby's out of the house and they don't really have anything holding them back. And they do this, and I believe something happens to Buck at this point, and word gets back to Hank, and Hank moves back, and maybe Hank takes over Strickland Propane. Like, Buck gets sick or something happens, like Buck passes away, and he's left Strickland Propane to Hank, bringing Hank back earlier than planned. Arlen.
Yeah, that actually makes perfect sense. That would bring him back. Because, you know, the thing I was initially thinking was that, oh, you know, at some point, Hank, they've made enough money, and so they decide to move back. Because Hank's definitely not like, I mean, it's a running gag in the show that Hank is cheap, or at least Hank's thrifty, but he's really good with his money and whatnot. So he's probably not spending, you know, buying Lamborghinis or whatever in Saudi Arabia. So he's probably putting a lot of the money away. And so they come back with a very nice nest egg, was my initial thought. But you bring a good point up. Like maybe he gets Strickland left to him. So he decides to move back and, you know, he can, and it's a job he can quote unquote coast through because he knows propane so well. And, you know, it maybe becomes a passion job for him because he has enough money to just kind of retire. So he's just like, I'm gonna run it for out of my passion of propane.
Yeah, and I feel like though the characters at Strickland Propane are just like, what are we like, Joe Jack and oh, Enrique? Yeah. Like these are characters that are so good that you can't really, if you're coming back to do another season or two, you want these characters, right?
Yeah, and I just can't imagine, like, it just seems, and it's also a big deal, like, with Hank, when you listen to the show, he cares so much about his job and being found not working. Like, that was a huge plot point in one episode where he just loses his mind because he can't work for 2 weeks because he's forced to take a vacation, and whatnot. And so, you know, just the idea of him just kind of lounging around the house and not working just doesn't, granted he's older, but it just doesn't seem like something he would do. So I feel like he'd have to come back and do something.
Yeah, I think him coming back to take over Strickland or something about Strickland Propane, that gives like Bobby a reason to come visit his family. I don't know, it just gives you a good starting point for all the characters to come back. That's just my theory on kind of why they would leave and come back. And I also feel like Hank would be like, I want the old way of life back. You know, when we were just talking about the cowboys and just being in the alley and having a couple beers and talking about our lawns. Like, oh, how do you think the lawn is that Hank's coming back? Do you think Mohawk took care of the lawn, or what is lawn situation when Hank comes back?
The guys absolutely took care of the lawn. There's no way they let it overgrow.
Well, I mean, Dale's into VR now, and Boomhauer's into his iPad. You know, like, what if things gone a little crazy?
I guess we'll see what winds up happening. I'd like to think that at least Bill would have tried to take care of the lawn.
I'm excited to see kind of like, I don't, it's, it is interesting seeing like Boomhauer on the iPad. It just doesn't feel like he was very tech savvy. Dale with like the VR headset, and then like he's vaping now. That seems like, okay, that's a natural progression for Dale, like, you know, but it just seems like, I don't know, interesting for Boomhauer. And then Bill, yeah, any way to get more convenience out of life, I feel like is be great for him. So yeah, it's just, I don't know. Was there, I'm trying to think of what else I noticed in the credits that I really liked, but was there anything that really shocked you in the credits?
So Dale being, or Nancy being with John Redcorn again, kind of shocked me, because it seemed like that arc was done. But you know, her getting in the Jeep clearly signifies that it's not. So it's like, okay, what's going on here? My theory, so this is something people keep going back and forth about, and for a while, and you know, we. And, you know, we'll take right now to talk a little bit about it because I think this is a good timing. But, you know, show's been off there for 15 some odd years. Sadly, we lost some of the minor actors as well who played bit characters, but we also lost some of the big ones. You know, Brittany Murphy, we lost her, who voiced Luann. We lost Tom Petty, who voiced Lucky. Then we lost Johnny Hardwick. Thankfully, he was able to record a few episodes before he passed. And it looks like Toby Huss is going to be taking over for Dale for those episodes that Johnny Hardwick didn't record. And then, of course, we lost Jonathan Joss just, like, less than 2 weeks ago. When Dale died, or when Johnny Hardwick died, there was a big theory about, like, are they going to recast him? Or are they going to kill him off in the show, too? Because sometimes there becomes this question about, like, honoring the character. Like, Johnny Hardwick was Dale Gribble. So it's like, okay, you know, do is it honorable to recast somebody to voice Dale Gribble? Or do we just kill off Dale Gribble in the show in honor of Johnny Hardwick? And then that brought up, like, the big question of, well, if they do kill off Dale, which it doesn't look like they're doing, but at the time, people were thinking, well, if they do kill off Dale, you know, people were talking about it on Reddit. Would you want Dale to die knowing the truth about Joseph, or dying in blissful ignorance, you know, still thinking that he was Joseph's father? And then, so, seeing this in the trailer makes me wonder, is Dale still in the dark about everything? Or did Dale learn, but because, you know, we're starting, you know, they're talking about things like, oh, all the cultural changes that have happened in America and whatnot, and now there's, like, the whole, and then the past few years, the whole idea of, like, a throuple and whatnot has become more common than it was, say, you know, when in 2010 when the show went off air. So, to me, that's a very fair question. It's like, is this, like, fair game? Is it, like, does Dale learn, but now they're kind of in a throuple situation? Or is Dale still ignorant about everything?
Okay, here's my theory on this. I think Joseph finds out, because, what was it? They're entering high school, or they're going to enter high school. I just feel like Joseph can't be that oblivious. You know what I mean? I know Dale is, but that's Dale. I just feel like Joseph... Yeah, Joseph's not the brightest, but I do feel like high school Joseph could piece it together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I think Joseph is kind of an idiot, as we see in the episodes. But I feel like as he gets older, he's going to start asking questions. And he's going to piece it together.
I also have a theory about Nancy getting back together with John Redcorn. I also think maybe the pressure of Dale running for mayor, or the stress of that, is going to have an effect on their marriage again. And instead of being like, we're going to confront this, or we're going to separate or whatnot, that Nancy just goes back to her old ways.
Yep. According to that of the event that they had, and I'll link the Variety piece here in the show notes, but apparently, so we do see the Dale for mayor thing. Apparently Dale wins, but he's only mayor briefly. My guess is they do like a recall. I doubt he's the type to just give up, so they have a recall vote of some kind. But yeah, I think maybe that is a triggering thing to get Nancy back into John Redcorn's arms.
And you know, that's, now that I'm saying it out loud or we're really talking about it, it makes me very sad. Because like that last episode, which I still agree, I mean, I'm loving that we're getting another couple of seasons. But that last episode was just so perfect for like every character. I just feel like I wasn't upset about any character's kind of end story at that last episode, where it's just like Nancy or Dale rubbing Nancy's head, like giving her the head massage at the end. And like, I just felt like, man, everyone's kind of worked out their problems, or they found a great happy ending for themselves. So it really makes me sad that Nancy would go back with John Redcorn. I hope, here's another theory I just thought of. I hope it's some kind of like co-parenting thing now that Joseph's found out. But she kind of jumps into that convertible, though. I don't know. I'm hoping it's a co-parenting thing. I don't know. I don't know. I hope the best for their relationship. That's, you know, fingers crossed for them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Like, now that he knows, if Joseph does find out, now that he knows and it's out in the open, that they let that now they're allowing John Redcorn to have more of an active role in Joseph's life.
Okay, wait, I have a question for you before we move. John Redcorn and Nancy, they're not in love with each other, right? It's just kind of a pure,
I
like,
think so,
physical
because it
thing,
was a
like
13-year
physical.
affair. It was like an over 13-year affair, which I feel like you wouldn't do if there wasn't something romantic there.
But like, is it just an affair of convenience? Like, we live in the same town. This is a great cover. Because I know he's like, I don't know.
Valid.
I just never got the romantic aspect of it. Kind of, she kind of just goes when she wants to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if anything, I see it like he is. If anything, I see like he's in love with her and she is not reciprocating. Like, she calls him when she needs him and he's kind of always on call. Because I don't think he charges her. For the massages. Or, air quote massage. I don't know what our podcast is rated. But I don't know. I just feel like. But I do feel like Nancy is in love with Dale. And that Dale's in love with Nancy. Like, just how much they, like, do for each other. Like, what was that episode where, like, Nancy loses her job as weather reporter and they're in the fire and Dale's like cameramanning it in the fire with her. Like, they're so supportive of each other. I just feel like that is a true, like, they are in love, but it doesn't feel that way with Nancy and John Redcorn. So I don't know. Now I'm bummed. I've been bummed. This bummed me out thinking about Nancy going back after she kind of just like, and after she lost her hair. She gave up her hair just to go back.
Yeah, good point.
Like, if you're gonna go back, you should just kept your, Or does it grow back? Does her hair grow back?
I don't know. I can't remember the exact details, but if having the affair would just stop the hair loss versus let the hair grow back, but
Her mom lost her hair too.
yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm gonna say her hair's gone. And this is just
Yeah,
gonna
I think the
and
episode ended. Yeah, that episode ended with Nancy, like,
getting a
buying a
wig,
wig.
right? Yeah, her and Peggy going and getting wigs, yeah. Okay, but yeah, so my theory is like Dale running for mayor put stress on the marriage, and that's why Nancy goes back to John Redcorn.
That's a possibility. That's a very real possibility.
I also think Joseph finds out. But does Dale find out is the
Yeah,
question. Or does
and
Joseph and Nancy talk about it and they're like, we gotta keep it a secret? I feel like Joseph finds out. Do you think Dale finds out? And then do you think like Nancy tells Joseph like, we can't let your dad know? Or like, this would ruin our marriage?
I think once it's out to Joseph, then Nancy will let Dale know. I think that one, like, I think that's like going to be the final domino that will get her to say something.
Okay, now that we've been talking about this Nancy and Dale and Joseph and John Redcorn thing, this is pretty deep subject for like this show. You know what I mean? You never think about how deep this subject is, but like, man, if King of the Hill hand tackles this, it's gonna be interesting.
There's going to be another betrayal, so to speak, in the summary that I see here that may take place in the King of the Hill household, or more specifically in the Hill household. So we talked a little bit about Bobby. Bobby is that he's 21 at this point in time. That's how we know that 8 years have passed, because the series ends with him being 13. He's 21, and he is an accomplished chef at a restaurant in Dallas. And it looks like he's actually living in Dallas now. And he's, kind of commuting, which is between Arlen and Dallas, to like visit his, his parents and whatnot. Apparently, the new season, some of the episodes will take place in Dallas, some of them will take place in Arlen, which I think finally solidifies a little bit about where Arlen is. Like, I think we've always kind of knew that it was in the DFW area, because the only times we see them in airports, they're in DFW, or they go to Dallas-Fort Worth and not, like, Austin or Houston or anything like that. But I think this solidifies the fact that Arlen is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But yeah, so Bobby is now at this restaurant called Robata Chain, which makes me believe Chain owns it. And it sounds like, from what I've heard, Chain, like, the relationship is better. Like, the whole bullied has gone away, and now Bobby's, like, actually friends with Chain. What's on a song?
The press release, I was shocked when they named Chain was in, like, when they were like, and his former classmates, and then Chain was a part of that, I was like, what is his name, Dudley? I'd be like, Dudley's more of a classmate to Bobby. Or is it Dudley or Doodley?
Dooley.
Dooley, yeah. Dooley is more of, like, featured than Chain Wasanasan was in this show, but...
Well, you know, maybe they just grow up and be friends.
It could be. Or was he ever in love with Connie, though? Or was it just like a convenience thing, or like their parents wanted them together or whatever?
Well, no, it was definitely one way. So I think Chain just liked all the girls. Yeah. But remember, there's a specific episode where Ted was on a song and they say, like, they're forbidding Chain from dating Connie. But on the flip side, the Super Newsom phones want Connie with Chain, largely because of Chain being a Wasana song and, you know, having all that money and power, which I'm guessing, you know, as an investment, Ted buys this restaurant for Chain, and Chain trusts Bobby's food skills, and that's why he lets Bobby be essentially the head chef. And I was sitting and I was thinking, have I even seen something like this in real life? Apparently it's a German sushi fusion, a German sushi fusion restaurant, which is something I've not heard of before in particular. And they use charcoal stove.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Hank's not going to be thrilled about Bobby working with charcoal all day and all night. Granted, it's not like he's a charcoal salesperson, but just the fact that they're using charcoal and not clean... You know, a clean burning propane.
Interesting. Very. I guess we're gonna see more of like. Okay, I don't know. I'm just like shocked that he was gonna be like this major part of this. Not a major part, but like. I don't know. I would say just as big as Luann. I feel like his presence. He's gonna be in a lot of episodes, right?
Sounds like it.
Or as much as, like, Buck was in the, like, season. Because, like, Hank's boss, this would be, like, Bobby's boss being there.
And, yeah, I think he's going to be a supporting character, but not, like, main cast. That's my theory. But we'll see. He could very well be main cast. It sounds like, from what I've read... He is. It sounds like Min and Khan, I don't know if they're outright divorced or separated, but their relationship is definitely on the rocks. And supposedly one of the 10 episodes, looking at the episode list, I'm going to go with the episode 10 called Conscious Uncoupling. You know, get the pun there. It's going to deal with it where Khan becomes Bill's roommate. So apparently what I've read is going to happen in that episode, which kind of hints that their relationship, Khan and Min's relationship's on the rocks. That's just, obviously that's speculation, but that's what people have said has been hinted at. Whether they're outright divorced or separated or just, you know, kind of living together but living separate lives kind of thing, I don't know.
I could see that happening, though. Like, we've seen the episodes where Khan is so focused on trying to climb the ladder, like, the social ladder, or trying to, like, get his way into, like, what, the country club or whatnot. And, yeah, Min has always been a part of it, in a sense, but I think Min just wants to like relax and have a good time and just kind of be a normal person and just, you know, watch American Idol and eat KFC. You know what I mean? Like, remember the time she joined the gun club so she could get better at skeet shooting? And then she was like, I really love being with guys. So I could see that her being like, I'm done, Khan. Like, I'm done trying to like do all this. I don't think they're gonna get divorced. I do think they'll be separated at the end of this season, and then they'll probably come back together the next. Because we're getting 2 seasons, right?
At least 2 seasons. Obviously, they could bring more, but I think they've already started working on season 15. So, yeah. And oh, speaking of Khan, so this was, I don't know if at the time it was, because it wasn't a big idea. I don't think, or excuse me, I don't, it wasn't a big deal. And it really didn't become a big deal until the documentary. I don't know if you ever saw it, but the, what was the documentary called? The Problem with the Pooh, I believe. By Hari Kondabolu, where he talks about, you know, you have Hank Azaria, a white guy, who is voicing the only Indian character on the show. And it's like, you know, there are Indian actors out there. There are plenty of Indian voice actors who would love the job. You should be giving it to them. And, you know, and to Hank Azaria's credit, it took him a while to get there, but he got there because at first he was like, no, I'm not gonna stop. Like, you guys gotta grow up. I don't know if those were the, that verbatim was what he said, but that was kind of the gist of it. Like, I hear you, but you know, I'm not gonna stop doing this to her. And then he eventually was like, maybe I should reconsider not doing it. Then eventually he was like, I'm not gonna do the Apu voice anymore. So Toby Huss will no longer be voicing Khan. Instead, Ronnie Chang will be voicing Khan. So they have Asian actor voicing Khan now.
I want to hear the voice, but just I don't know. What is it? Full disclosure, I'm a big Ronny Chang fan. Like, I love him and anything he's in. He's hilarious. I watched all his specials. He's great. So I have no qualms about this. I want to see. I don't know if he can do voices. You know what I mean? I only think he has his own voice. But I've never heard him try to do voice before.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Like, I think he'll do fine. I'm not too concerned, but it might not sound exactly like Khan or what we're used to with Khan. But honestly, I'm fine with that. As long as it's not like a huge deviation from
I mean, I
Khan's
like.
voice.
Oh no, I do think Ronnie's gonna have to tone it down. Like, his voice is very high action or very animated. And I feel like Khan is a little more serious. So I think he's going to have to bring it in a little bit. But I think the affliction's still there. I'm excited about the casting. I'm all here for it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think, what's its face? So apparently it looks like it's not going to be at the start of the season, but at some point in the season, Connie is off to college. I don't know where she is because so one of the reviews suggested that she's living in Dallas with Chang. I don't think they're all like roommates and kind of like a friend's apartment situation, but maybe they are. But apparently, like Chain, Bobby, Joseph, and Connie are all kind of living in Dallas, supposedly. It maybe Connie isn't. Maybe Connie's the odd person out there. But it sounded like one of the reviews I read, or one of the scenarios I read, suggests that they're all kind of living in the Dallas area together, which then makes me like, okay, well, if Connie's in college, what college is she going to that's in Dallas? Because, you know, the Supanusenfone family was like super adamant about her going to like one of the elite schools, and the most elite school in Texas is Rice University, which is located in the Houston area, which is not Dallas. So I'm like sitting here thinking, okay, what's the most elite school in Dallas? And I can't even think of one. So I'm like, okay, so that's kind of where I'm hesitant. Is Connie living in Dallas too, or is she like off in California at Stanford or something?
Okay, here's my theory. I know, I feel like this whole episode's just been like, here is my theory. But I guess that's all I can. There's nothing we know, right? So, I think Connie was at a Ivy League school. It just seems like that's the direction she was going to. I do think she's maybe gonna take an off year, and like we're finding her in her off year. Like she
I
wants to
believe it.
discover like what. what she really wants to do in life. You know, she's always been this character torn between like an academic life and an like a more creative arts focused life.
Yeah, like you bring up a good point. I feel like a lot of her character development in the original series was that she is gifted and talented by, for sure. Like that goes without saying. But I think she was falling into kind of that stereotypical kind of Asian family trap, if you will, or I don't know if I want to call it a trap. Like that just doesn't sound right, but like, you know, the whole idea of like, oh, she's oh, you gotta work hard and study, 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 study. If you're awake, you should be studying so you can go to the best school in the world and whatnot. And she probably got caught in that trap to some extent. And then like, after a while, she was like, I've known a few people like this, like where they do go to the Ivy League school. Like I knew somebody went to MIT and burned out after like a year and went to like, I forget what school afterwards. So it's not impossible that that's probably what.
Yeah, I could see her just. Are we assuming that her and Bobby are not together anymore, right? Is that what we're assuming? Or did they say they are together?
Supposedly they're going to get back together during the season. That's what I've read as in one
Okay.
of the synopses.
So here's what I'm thinking, like, I think she gets burnt out or she's trying to figure out what she wants to do with her life. So she takes the off year and she reconnects with Bobby, or they're still, friends, or I don't know how it's gonna end with them. But, Bobby's like, "Hey, Joseph and I and everyone are living together here in Dallas. Why don't you come spend this off time with us?" And then that'll bring her in, rekindle whatever spark they had. You know what I mean? Like, him being like, "We're all living here," can bring Connie in, because it doesn't make sense for her to move to Dallas and not to with her family, right? For off year, unless she doesn't want her parents to know.
Yeah, it's possible. Maybe she's just hanging out at Dallas. I mean, it's risky because she's relatively close to home, but hanging out at Dallas to just kind of whatever.
I mean, an off year or off semester isn't as crazy anymore as it was, I feel like, back then. Like back 8 years ago. I feel like an off year or taking an off semester is probably like a normal thing now, For people to just like figure out what they really want, to recharge, to like go back at it. 'Cause yeah, so I don't think it's that crazy. Here's my question to you is like, do you want full episodes of just the four of them, just the kids? I know they're not kids anymore, like they're adults with their own lives, but like, do you want that? And then at that point, it just feels like, are we trying to shift the focus so that the show is like Bobby and the gang? Is Bobby the new king of the hill?
Maybe I it's so the summary I read suggests that it's bifurcated or maybe not 50-50, but some of the series or some of season 14 is going to take place in Dallas, some of it's in Arlen. So at least for that first year, if you will, or that season 14, it's going to, it's still going to focus on Hank and still going to focus on Bobby. But maybe they are setting up for like a King of the Hill spin-off that centers fully on Bobby. Or a pseudo spin-off, if you will.
And like I mean like Bobby's one of my favorite characters. I feel like I mean Peggy first for me, but then Bobby's very close second. But I don't know. I just feel like without Hank, the show is just very like you really need that grounded, straight-laced person to have all the craziness happen around them. And I just feel like we have a lot of shows about like young adults growing up in their life.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I mean, granted, there were some Bobby-centric episodes. There were a handful of Joseph-centric episodes, not a ton. And then a handful of Connie-centric ones. So it wouldn't be unheard of.
But like a full season? I don't know. It just feels like the formula is good already, and it feels like they're trying to copy a form like today's formula. You know what I mean? Like the Friends-esque, in a sense. Friends, How I Met Your Mother, ask like a group of friends living in the same apartment complex or whatnot.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know. I love these characters. It just feels like I don't know if I want to watch a full, like, are they going to keep the heart of it now that they're adults? It just feels. But with scene, may you know what? I didn't want the 10-year time skip, or I didn't want a new season, but now I'm excited about it. So
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
my mind can be changed. I'm not set in stone. I just like I have fears. I feel like these fears are only here because I love the show so much. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. Like, obviously, I love the show. One of my favorite shows of all time. I can't tell you how many times I've done rewatches of it. So, obviously, I want more King of the Hill, like, just like anybody else. I feel like the last few seasons had more misses than previous seasons, so I don't know if they were just running out of steam or whatever. Maybe having a good break gives them a time to recap, but I'm also like, I don't know if you watched the Futurama revival that Hulu did, because
Yeah,
Hulu
it
did the
just
same
yeah.
thing where they bought episodes to revive Futurama, and I quite frankly was very disappointed at it. Like, I don't remember Futurama being as tied into pop culture as the revival was. Like, they had episodes about crypto mining and binge episodes and stuff like that. Like, it was almost like they were trying to hit every pop culture thing that they had missed over the past 5 years or whatever. And it didn't feel like Futurama. It just felt very cringe. And so, like, that's probably the only thing that is making me cautious around the new King of the Hill series, or the revival rather, is that, in my mind, Hulu screwed up Futurama, and so I'm worried that they might screw up King of the Hill. But they also brought back pretty much all the same people, like Mike Judge, Greg Daniels, so on and so forth. So I feel like they, as long as like the Hulu executives don't get too involved and kind of let these guys know what they're doing. They created a hit TV show back in the day. Just let them kind of cook and do their thing, and the series should be fine.
Yeah, like speaking on the Futurama note, it just kind of is like Futurama was its own world back when it first came out. Like it had its own in-world thing, and like things happened in the in-world, and like they didn't let anything outside influence them too much. And I feel like that was with King of the Hill. Like King of the Hill has its own good lore and its own story and its own kind of what they created to branch out, like Boggle Championships and you know. Whatever they're doing is like I like that in-world stuff, so you know, let's not try to bring out too much you know, we can age the show and it can come into the modern world, but I feel like let's not lose the heart of what people really loved about it.
Yeah, agreed. Well, any last thoughts before we call this episode?
Oh man, I'm excited to see. I don't know, I'm just excited about to see like where everyone is. I feel like that first episode's gonna be so information dump for me. I'm like, I need to know every what have you all been up to the past 8 years? You know, like when you haven't seen a friend for a long time and you're like, what have you been up to? I need to know everything in the past 8 years that's gone on in your life.
Oh yeah, those first two episodes are going to be big lore dump kind of things to let us know what had gone on. And I imagine they're going to sprinkle the rest of the stuff like throughout the season or whatever. But there's going to like that first episode, which is literally called "Return of the King," is probably going to be a big information dump.
I don't know. I'm worried for the show. I'm excited for the show. I'm ready for the show. I wish they would partner up with like I'm not a big beer drinker, but I wish they partner up with a beer company and give us some Alamo beer and like so we can enjoy it to watch the like new episode.
There is a real Alamo Beer Company in San
Is
Antonio.
there?
Yeah, I used to know the guy. I don't know if he still runs it or whatnot, but what was his name? Eugene. So Eugene something. I used to know the guy who ran it, and yeah, he was like, it's not obviously it's not actually affiliated with the show, but they were like, I even asked him once, and he was like, yeah, it gave me a lot of free advertisement.
I don't know. Maybe I'll go grab an Alamo beer. I'm gonna see if I can get one, and I'll let you guys know how it tastes.
Yeah. I think they even have a beer hall in San Antonio. Oh, it looks like they do have a beer hall in San Antonio. I'm gonna have to check it out next time I'm there.
Wow, what a missed opportunity for them not to work together. I feel like easy partnership.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next too. You'll hear it from it. You'll hear us talk about it, obviously. So if the first episode's August 4th, probably roughly a week, maybe a week and a half afterwards, we'll dump our first episode and then do a few episodes. We'll bring you 10 episodes, and this was exciting because we'll get, this will instead of reviewing our top 10 episodes, excuse me, our top 50 episodes, we will get to do a podcast in real time, so to speak, of the show. So looking forward to exploring that with all of you.
Yeah, it's gonna be. You're going to hear our thoughts, our fresh thoughts on the episodes.
Cool. Well, with that, I'm happy to hear from you all. Looking forward to talk to you later. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.